Good morning. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Exodus 5, verse 2. Does it really matter who God is? It must, for the Bible says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. How can we believe that He is, unless we know something about Him? Who is He? Everything depends upon that answer to that question. Didn't the prophet admonish us, "Seek the Lord while He may be found of thee"? Isaiah 55, verse 6. But where do we turn to do that seeking? It must be the Bible, for it is the only revelation we have from God and the only revelation we have of God. Outside that revelation, we know nothing whatsoever about the Almighty. Here's how the Bible begins, Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Here's how the Bible ends, Revelation 22, 21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Between those two verses, what a marvelous revelation God has given us. In that great revelation, God tells us so much about Himself. In Job 11, verse 7, two very timely questions are asked. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty with perfection? The answer to the first question is yes. We can, by searching, find out God. Surely the Lord would not mete out vengeance unto them that know not God, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, if it were not possible for men in this life to know God. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed," 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Hebrews 8 and verse 11 tells us God can be known. Yes, man can, by searching, find out God. But the answer to the second question, "Canst thou find out the Almighty into perfection," is no. Why? Because finite minds cannot possibly grasp all there is to know about the infinite God. Didn't Paul tell us that His ways are past finding out? Romans 11, 33. Aren't we also told that His love passes all knowledge, Ephesians 3, 19, and that His peace passes all understanding, Philippians 4, 7? In fact, the prophet said there is no searching of His understanding, Isaiah 40, 28. Now why? Because His understanding is infinite, Psalm 147, verse 5. Remember, the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to man, Deuteronomy 29, 29. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend, Job 37, verse 5. No, man can never know the Almighty into perfection. While there are things about God we cannot know, for He didn't reveal them, we can know all we need to know to love, worship, and serve Him, and want to be with Him throughout eternity. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the Word of God, Hebrews 11, verse 3. It was God who created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1, verse 1. John informed us that He created all things, Revelation 4, 11. Not only did God speak things into existence, but by that same powerful word, He upheld all things, Hebrews 11, verse 3. God is the origin of all things, including life itself. In Him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17, 28. Our breath is in His hand, Daniel 5, 23. He giveth to all life and breath and all things, Acts 17, 25. In fact, every good and perfect gift comes from God, James 1, 17. God has always been. He is from everlasting to everlasting, Psalm 90, verse 2. That's one of those things hard for finite minds to grasp. To us, everything had to have a beginning, but not for God. There has never been a time when He did not exist. Look back into the distant past. As far back as your mind will let you go, and there is God. Now turn and look into the far, far distant future, until your thoughts collapse in exhaustion, and there is God. He is at both ends of time, completely unaffected by either. Furthermore, the Father hath life in Himself, John 5, 26. This means God exists in and of Himself. Everyone else and everything else depends on something else or someone else for existence, but not God. He is dependent on no one or on nothing. God told Moses to tell the people, "I am has sent you," Exodus 3, 14. Sounds like what Jesus once said, "Before Abraham was, I am," John 8, 58. He didn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was," but, "Before Abraham was, I am." Sounds strange, doesn't it? God is the great I am. He is the everlasting, self-existent, always-present Father. And He's everywhere. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" Psalm 139, verse 7. Here is another one of those things finite minds find hard to grasp. How can he be here and there and everywhere else at the same time? Someone has well said, God is that circle, the center of which is everywhere, and the circumference of which is nowhere. God is within all, though not confined. He is outside all, though not excluded. Not only is God omnipresent, but he's also likewise omniscient. There isn't anything that he doesn't know. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Romans 11:33. Mortal man could never run or hide from his Creator. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:13. David said, Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar off, Psalm 139:2. He went on to say in verse 4, There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Our life is an open book before Jehovah. He knows our potential and our limitations. He knows our strength and our weaknesses. He knoweth what we have need of before we ask him, Matthew 6:8. He even knows instantly, and he knows fully and completely. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, Romans 11:34. Our God is all-wise and all-knowing. God once asked, Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. Is there? Is there anything God cannot do? Can he make a rock too big for him to lift? Can he make two mountains without a valley between? Can he make a four-sided triangle? Can he make unfrozen ice? Can he make a thing to be and not to be at the same time? These are questions skeptics like to ask. What about these questions? Power has to do with what is possible. God can do anything that is possible, but it was God himself who made some things impossible. It was God himself who made a triangle to have three sides. That's the way he made it. Hence, it is impossible to have a four-sided triangle, or have unfrozen ice, or two mountains side by side without a valley between. That's the way God made them. Jeremiah declared, There is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32:17. God has unlimited power, unbelievable power. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. Paul said, We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, Romans 8:28. He didn't say that all things are good, for all things are certainly not good. He said that all things work together for good, and he was confident of that. The Bible doesn't deal in guesswork, but in certainties and in things we can count on and depend on. A good example of what Paul said is in Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph was the object of envy, Genesis 37:11. Envy's not good. Envy is bad. It is of the devil, James 3:16. Solomon said it is the rottenness of the bones, Proverbs 14:34, and is cruel as the grave, Song of Solomon 8:6. Stephen reminded us that because of envy, Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt, Acts 7:9. Surely that was not from God. It, too, was from the devil. Joseph was falsely accused, thrown into prison, and forgotten, all of which were prompted by the devil himself. But had it not been for envy, selling him into slavery, false accusations, being forgotten, his story would have been quite different. While none of these things came from God, yet every one of these events somehow, some way, worked for the good of Joseph and for the good of God's people. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, Genesis 50:20. Earlier he told them, Joseph telling his brothers, Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life, Genesis 45:5. God has at his disposal what Isaiah referred to as strange work, Isaiah 28:21. He could cause an axe head to float, 2 Kings 6:6. We can't do it, but God did. He caused the sun to stand still, Joshua 10:12. He caused a donkey to speak, Numbers 22:28, and Aaron's rod to bud, Numbers 17:8. Three times God called wicked Nebuchadnezzar my servant, Jeremiah 25:9, 27:6, and 43:10. Not my follower, but my servant. Who would have ever thought that that wicked Babylonian would be a golden cup in the hands of the Lord? Jeremiah 5:17, or God's battle axe and weapon of war, Jeremiah 51:20. What strange instruments God at times uses. If you were asked to write down on a piece of paper what you considered God's greatest quality, What would you put on that piece of paper? Well, anything you put down would be wrong, for God has no greatest quality. Whatever he is to perfection. No one quality or trait is greater or less than some other quality or trait. God cannot be less than he is, nor can he be greater than he is. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. He cannot be out of character with himself. There is none holy as the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:2. It is unthinkable that God would be wrong. Job 34:12. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. He is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32:4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:4. Our God can be trusted and depended on. God is righteous in all his works he doeth. Daniel 9:14. He is able to work all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 28:25. How can he be a God of justice? Isaiah 30:18. And a God of grace? 1 Peter 5:10. We must understand that grace does not set aside or annul God's justice. If it weren't for his justice, grace would be superficial. God's justice demands that sin be dealt with. Sin is anti-God. Every time one sins, he turns his back on God. Since God cannot deny himself, how could he be just in condemning sin and at the same time be the justifier of him who had sinned? Only through Christ and the cross. Romans 3:23-25. Friends, God hates sin, but he loves a sinner. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter 3:9. He would have all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. His gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. If one is lost, it won't be because God didn't want him or her to be saved. Rather, one is lost because he failed to accept what God promised and on the condition he promised it. That being the case, I urge you to do as the prophet admonished, prepare to meet thy God. Amos 4:12. Are you making that preparation, friend? If not, now is the time to do so. If we can help you in your decision to become a child of God, by your faith in Jesus Christ and willingness to repent and turn to him, upon your confession you'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Romans 6:3-4. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.